We want to welcome you all and thank you all for coming tonight, many of you from quite considerable distances.
2 weeks ago, we asked our meetup group here in San Francisco to write down what the Dean campaign means to them. And we thought the best way to welcome Governor Dean here tonight would be to share some of those responses.
So here's what they had to say. One of the most important political events of my life occurred when I saw Governor Dean's speech at the California Democratic Convention in Sacramento in March 2008. I left the Green Party and rejoined the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. Howard Dean gave thousands of Americans their political voices back. I consider myself one of them.
Yes.
The Dean campaign has allowed me to meet incredible people all over the state and all over the country. It has been a lesson in Politics 101 to prepare me as a Dean Democrat to change America and empower my community, the Latinos.
All right.
Has given me a reason to feel hope for the future of our country. I've had so many new, exciting new experiences and many wonderful new friends through this campaign. I'm not going to go back to sitting at home alone, being depressed in front of the TV.
Learning again the meaning of community. Joining thousands of other people working towards a common goal of waking up the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
The ability to express my political will. The Dean campaign gave me political power and a way to be involved in the political process. My local volunteer efforts, joined with thousands of others, made a difference. My small donations made a difference when joined with thousands of others.
This experience was wonderfully reaffirming, energizing, and a true source of hope. I met a whole lot of amazing Americans. I learned about my country's political system. I found my political voice. I felt empowered. I actually registered as a Democrat.
There were so many other more powerful responses, and we're sure that you all have exactly similar stories to tell. That's why you're here tonight, to keep our movement going. We are so excited that Governor Dean is here tonight to share his vision for our future together. Governor Dean, we want to thank you for your inspiration, your courage, your integrity, and your honesty. Please join us in welcoming Governor Howard Dean.
Let me thank all of you. This is
this is great. My goodness. I have a habit of scaring my staff members to death because they never know what I'm going to say next. So we're trying it like this, maybe it's not too late to get back in. We did not win the nomination, but we changed the debate, and we're going to take that to the vote. You made the Democratic message much tougher, and you got our party ready to beat George Bush. Changed politics forever by showing it it's possible. The ordinary Americans with small donations to build a movement that comes from nowhere and that takes this country back, and that's what we're going to do. White right-wing extremists are justifiably worried about the power of ordinary American citizens. They're worried that we will propel a Democrat into the White House in 2004. They're worried that we will actually take the country back. Well,
maybe.
Talk about what we're facing in 2004. It's pretty clear to me that George W. Bush is a failed president. Yeah. On George Bush's watch, this country has lost 2.3 million jobs, the first president since Herbert Hoover to have a net loss of jobs on his watch. Manufacturing jobs have gone overseas. On George Bush's watch, we had the possibility of making trade and globalization work, but he refuses to implement the labor standards, the human rights standards, and the environmental standards that are required for fair trade and jobs in America, as well as decent human rights standards for workers abroad. Fair wages, he's opposed decent unemployment benefits, he has opposed decent overtime protections for ordinary Americans. Today, the minimum wage is 30% lower than it was when Richard Nixon was president. A single mother working full-time for minimum wage gets $11,000 a year, $4,000 below the poverty line. We can do better in this country, and we will. Doesn't think it's his job to worry about moderate income people or low income people working for minimum wages. He thinks it's his job to worry about the CEOs of the biggest companies in the world making on average 531 times what an ordinary worker makes in this country. We can do better than that, and we will. George Bush's tax policy. George Bush, his policy has represented an enormous transfer of wealth, our taxpayer dollars, taken from middle-class people and given them to the wealthiest Americans and the largest corporations in the world. He has also created the biggest deficits in the history of the United States of America, that is money that our kids are going to have to pay back. We can do better, and we will. The men who run the Enron-style economy are not conservatives. What they are is reckless right-wingers who know nothing about managing money and don't care about managing ours. They're taking it and giving it to pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies. We can do better, and we will! Jobs in this country, but not by piling up new debt. People don't invest in countries where the balance sheet looks like it did in Argentina 4 years ago. People don't invest in countries where they know the value of the dollar is going to come down and interest rates are going to go up because deficits have reached $500 billion a year. Let's be clear, the Bush tax cuts didn't have any effect on average Americans except to drive up their property taxes and drive up their health insurance premiums, and drive up their college tuitions. 60% of Americans got $304 on average. The people who make $1 million a year got an average of $113,000 a year in tax cuts. But the president never mentions that over the next 6 years, the typical American family is going to accumulate $52,000 in additional debt. He never mentions that property taxes have gone up by hundreds of thousands of dollars because he's cut education, fire, police, and homeland security. State budgets, and Lord knows you know this in California, are strained. Local school systems are strained. College tuitions higher. The president cut half a million children off health insurance and 1 million adults. No wonder our health care premiums are going up. We can do better, and we will! We have no health insurance, the last industrialized country on the face of the earth, and I can't resist doing this one more time. It seems to me that we ought to be able to join the British, the French, the Germans, the Japanese, the Irish, the Italians, the Danes, the Dutch, the Greeks, the Israelis, the Canadians, the Swedes, the Norwegians, even the W. Bush back to Crawford, Texas, we'll have a president who understands ordinary Americans and will join all those other countries that have health insurance for every single one of their citizens, and we'll have health insurance for every American here as well, and join the rest of the world. We can do better, and we will. We now know, and school boards know, and governors know, and taxpayers know, and members of Congress know, that President Bush's No Child Left Behind bill left every child left behind. It left every teacher behind. It left every property tax payer behind. The Secretary of Education said that Leading Teachers Organization was a terrorist organization. Anti-public education in this country or in Washington, the Secretary of Education presided over a school system in Houston that falsified their dropout rate, falsified their college aspiration rate, falsified their school violence rate. Send them back to Texas. We can do better, and we can do better. President, whose chairman of the Federal Reserve advocated so cutting Social Security benefits so we could extend the tax cuts and the largest deficit in the history of America. Under this president, the levels of personal debt have risen so high that more women declared bankruptcy in America last year than graduated from college. We can do better, and we can do better. When George Bush was running for president of the United States in the year 2000, he promised that his model judges would be people like Antonin Scalia. Duck shooting with Dick Cheney and Clarence Thomas. Unfortunately, that is the only promise that he managed to keep. The president has turned his back on the alliances that have helped protect our security abroad for 60 years. He launched a unilateral, preemptive Iraqi war whose mission, stability in that nation and greater security for America, remains unaccomplished. In the process, he's misled our citizens about the facts, something that many Americans will not forgive. The credibility, the biggest issue in this campaign is rapidly becoming not jobs and not even the war in Iraq. The biggest issue in this campaign is rapidly becoming the credibility and the believability of the President of the United States. Said Iraq was importing uranium from Africa. That was not true. The vice president said they were about to acquire nuclear weapons. That was not true. The secretary of defense said he knew just where the weapons were near Tikrit in Baghdad. That was not true. Too many other people in this administration have now admitted that the evidence that they gave us was not true. The president said we were all safer now that Saddam was in jail. I think 200 Spaniards and 566 American, brave American soldiers will tell you the opposite. The president claimed there was a tie between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. Now it appears that that was not true. The President of the United States and his administration deliberately concealed the cost of the Medicare prescription benefit program, which is an enormous taxpayer bailout for HMOs, insurance companies, and drug companies, deliberately concealed that from Congress. I think the people of this country want a president who's going to tell the truth, and we're going to change presidents in November. Of the Bush television ads was widely condemned for exploiting people who had died and lost their families in 9/11. In addition to exploiting firefighters who had no intention of supporting the president. What was troubling in these ads, that was even more troubling as far as I'm concerned, is that he sought to blame the previous administration for a weak economy over 3 years into his administration. You can tell when presidents fail to lead, because when you blame your predecessor for the fact that you have failed to do anything about jobs in nearly a four-year term, that is not leadership. That is running from your record. And this president is running. We're going to take this agenda on, this right-wing agenda. The first thing we're going to be sure that the Democrats do not do anymore is you do not meet this agenda halfway. There will be no compromise with the right-wing agenda.
beat George Bush, we've got to stand up for our principles and not paper over our differences with the most radical administration in our lifetime. In order to win, we have to aggressively expose the ways in which this president's policies have benefited the most privileged and excluded everybody else. To win, we have to confidently advance a policy agenda rooted in hope and real American values, opportunity, integrity, and community. Step in changing this country is to send this president back to his beloved ranch. The nominee of this party is going to be John Kerry, and I will do everything I can to make sure that John Kerry succeeds in sending George Bush back to his ranch. Changing presidents is not enough. We are going to fundamentally change the Democratic Party. Together at the grassroots level, just like you have come today, make sure that that connection that we established during our campaign is all over America, so that the people in San Francisco are connected with the people in Georgia and in Pennsylvania and in Michigan, so that we can take back this party and then take back this country for ordinary Americans. So here's what I propose. Out of Dean for America, we will create a new enterprise, Democracy for America. Yes. We, just some of the mechanics, the same people who did our web work for DFA or started their own company, 10 of them, and they're going to do our web work for DFA too. This is an amazing story. I mean, this is amazing. The power, your power is extraordinary. Nico Maley, who's a webmaster, who some of you know something about, who are really into the tech stuff and want to know about it, put up a website at 2 o'clock this morning. He sent us a small contribution to make sure the credit card works. 5 minutes later, our first real contribution came. This is 2 o'clock in the morning. We are trying not to email people and ask for money. We've done a lot of that. We've taken in $15,000. Are going to be, Democracy for America will be committed to the same core principles the campaign was. First, we're committed to promoting strong grassroots involvement in campaigns and democracy with ordinary citizens, not just as donors, but as candidates, as organizers, and as active participants. Americans today don't bother to vote. They see what the problems are, but they're cynical about the ability of the system to make any changes. Only through doing will people recognize the power that they have to change this country. For some of you, that will mean running for office for school board, city council, state legislature, maybe even the United States Congress. Others, we want you to participate as grassroots partners, supporting these candidates, taking leadership roles and organizing. I happened to be on a conference call with a lot of organizers the other day. Evidently in Pasadena, the entire Democratic Party has been taken over by Dean for America. Yeah. Secondly, we're committed to promoting an America where candidates and office holders tell the truth about policy. The era when candidates and office holders mislead us about fundamental matters like jobs and war and peace is over. We can do better.
And we will.
We are absolutely committed to fighting the influence and agenda of the two pillars of George Bush's administration. One, the far right wing and their radical, divisive, and extremist views. And two, selfish corporate special interests. Committed to fighting for a progressive political agenda. We will fight for health care for every single American, just like that in all those other countries. We will fight for a real investment in early childhood so we can stop sending people to prison and start sending them to college. I mean to say this in San Francisco, we will fight for equal rights for every single person. We will fight for fiscal responsibility so that we can have social justice and decent social programs, not just in good time when there's money, but also in difficult times. Republicans not only don't care about 96% of ordinary Americans, but they do not know how to manage money anymore. You can't have social justice unless we can balance budgets. We need jobs, we need social programs, we need health care, and we need health. We can do better. Promote a national security policy that makes America stronger by working with other allies and advancing progressive social values around the world. We'll begin by taking back the White House. Our new enterprise will help in every way possible. We'll focus on key battleground states, mobilizing our national network of supporters and groundbreaking organizing tools we developed during the previous campaign. We will support candidates across America who stand for our principles. That begins with the members of Congress who had the courage and vision to stand with us during our race to the White House when no one else would. Continue to support other incumbents and challengers in tough races in regions across the country. We will help give some financial support through a political action committee. I'll travel to speak on behalf of candidates. We'll put our grassroots network to work supporting these folks, because it's not enough to send George Bush back to Crawford, Texas. Tom DeLay is soon to follow. Yeah. We will encourage members of our grassroots network, as I said, to run for office and offer them tools to achieve this. We want to change the conditions in America so that people no longer think that running for office is the sole province of those who are well-connected and who have lots of personal money. If there's any lesson to be learned from our campaign, that maybe the way to do campaign finance is not to wait for those folks inside the Beltway in Washington to do it. Simply do what we did. Raise $50 million from ordinary Americans in $5 and $10 and $1,500 increments. We can teach other people to do that. We don't have to be afraid of the special interest anymore, because our special interest is going to be the American people. For America, Democracy for America will maintain interactive websites where supporters can plug in, join the discussion, get involved. I don't want to oversell this. We had 600 people working for us. We're going to have 8 now, because our intention is to raise about $3 million so that we can help other candidates, and that does not include having a big bureaucracy in Burlington. It's a very small bureaucracy in Burlington. But we're going to have a lot of the same talent working for us on contract that put together Dean for America, doing some of the same things. We've got to keep ourselves connected, not just community by community, but nationally. I was up in Seattle, somebody handed me a newsletter that they're putting out in the Seattle community. That kind of newsletter ought to be all over the country. We can do these things, but we've got to do it by keeping in touch with each other and supporting each other in difficult times. I've been into a lot of meetings with other organizations, and so have a lot of our staff folks, and we've discovered that a lot of people are doing the kinds of things that we want to do. We are not going to raise money and compete with those groups. We're going to work with them. So we're going to have partnerships. First partnership I'm going to announce is a partnership with the Service Employees International Union for Corporate Responsibility. Partnership with a group called 21st Century Democrats, which is very active in Colorado. They recruit and train candidates. That's what we do. We're going to work together to widen that net and raise money for each other so that we can do more and more of that. The third group we're going to work with is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees to stand up for organizing, but also to put out the message that this is not the year to vote for independents or third parties. I have a lot of experience in Vermont running with third parties. And I know that Ralph Nader has done a great deal for this country. He really has. He has a long legacy of doing. The effect of a re-election of George W. Bush would be to undo his 40-year career fighting for consumers and the environment. We cannot let that happen. We cannot let that happen. One project I really want to pick up from the Dean for America campaign is something called Dean Corps.
Yes. Yeah.
Those of you who are in Iowa, you know all about this. We have discovered that while it's true that young people don't vote a lot in national elections, they also serve their community at a higher percentage than any other age group in the country. They do things for the environment. We put together this group of kids in Iowa. They would go down with their dean shirts on, and instead of campaigning and handing out literature and making phone calls, they'd go up and clean out the nearest stream from the tires and the cars and stuff like that. They would raise raise money for teacher supplies so they wouldn't have to help their low-income kids and the low-income schools out of their own pockets. Teachers wouldn't have to do that. They would go and collect food supplies for food shelves. Kids get that the connection with community is everything. And the biggest loss that we've suffered under George W. Bush is not our jobs and our money and our even our lives in Iraq. The biggest loss that we've suffered is the destruction of the American community because he does not understand Americans. Things that happened in our campaign is we built an enormous community of 700,000 people around this country. Yeah. People still can't figure out the internet. They think it's a great way to raise money, and I can tell them right now, if you don't have anything to say, nobody's going to say anything. What they don't understand is that the internet is a community. It's a community of people who don't happen to be co-located in a geographic location. We need to keep that community going because that community is the essential tool in giving people back hope. So many of those uninformed folks in the media wrote about the anger of this campaign. This is a campaign about hope.
That's
about giving ordinary people power. About overcoming adversity. There's not a lot of nice things about being 55, as opposed to 18, but one of the things that my father always used to tell me is when you're older, you have an advantage, you can look backwards as well as forwards. And I think a lot of the younger folks in this campaign who work their hearts out need a little wisdom for those of us who have a little different color hair. And that is that change is fun and it's hard work, but it also requires perseverance every single day, every single month, every single year. We are going to succeed. We are going to change this country. But in order to do so, we're going to have to understand that there will be setbacks. I was never discouraged when I was running for president. Even though we lost a lot of primaries, I was never discouraged. The reason I was never discouraged is because I knew we would come back every single time. And here we are, a month after Wisconsin, we're back again. America has always been, this is the political cliche, the only one I can think of that I like, it has always been the beacon of hope for the rest of the world. And the reason for that is because Americans are less cynical than anybody else on the face of the earth. One of the most extraordinary things that I discovered, people always ask me, what you learned from this campaign? I learned a lot of things. One of the best things I learned is how fantastic the American people are. Uh-huh. And the other thing I learned is that American people come in every shape, size, color, ethnicity, religious group, and 95% have a shared agenda. You can see people say, what are you going to do for this group? Or what are you going to do for that group? You know what? Education, healthcare, hope for their children, jobs, strength of community, respect in the world again, the United States being the world, the leader of the world again. Equal rights under the law, so we stop hassling people at airports because they come from Southeast Asia. Want a fundamentally fair country because the American people are fundamentally fair people. But we do not have an administration that's as good as the American people, and we can do better. And so we will prevail. It will take time. We can never let up. We can't do it all at once. I'm not the nominee of this party, but having a Democrat, having John Kerry is far preferable to what we have, and I'm cheerfully going to work for his election. I ask you to do it too, and I'm cheerfully. Because if or agenda is health insurance for all Americans, if it is fundamental fairness, if it is decent public schools, if it is retaining and regaining the moral leadership of the world, then the first step is to send George Bush back to Crawford, Texas. The website, this one's easy to remember, democracyforamerica.com. We're not going to ask you for money, we promise. If you give it to us, there's only 8 staff members, it'll be well spent on the stuff that's important outside the headquarters in Burlington. Let me just close by, not by saying you have the power, because you do, you wouldn't be here if you didn't, but by saying we have the power.
Yes.
We have the power. We are going to win. We are going to win in 2004, not just by changing presidents, but by changing America. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.